Good morning, family. Good morning. Boy, I got to take a look. You all always look so good. This is just a huge blessing to be able to stand up here and look out at God's family. It is the best on the surface of the earth, isn't it? Good that you're here this morning. Thank you for coming. Brandon did such an excellent job in the selection of the scripture. I tell you, scriptures like that, you can totally understand that all of our praise God deserves, doesn't he? We serve an awesome God. He's so wonderful. If you're a visitor here this morning, we want to welcome you. Certainly you are so special to us to come our way. We know schedules are busy and times get hard, but when you take time out to come to worship God with us, that is a blessing for us. Thank you for coming. May God bless you richly today. Well, our speakers, our preachers, both of them are out of town this weekend. So guess who got the short straw? But I'll make a deal with you, okay? Y'all like deals? Here's my deal. I'll give you a short lesson if you'll take it easy on me. Do we have an amen? It's Mother's Day. Oh, man. What a wonderful day. This is kind of one of those special days, isn't it? Because our mothers are special. The ladies in our lives are special. And we just want to spend some time this morning talking about the ladies in our lives. So let's get started. It was all his plan. Every bit of it was his idea. It was absolutely a perfect plan. His plan was the great creation. And our God decided that he would perform this creation over a period of 6 days. Now, our God could have done that in just a snap of a finger or a wink of an eye. He has that kind of power. But for our God, 6 days was just right. So let's talk about God's creation just for a second. You got to go to the first chapter in the book, Genesis 1, and it begins in the beginning, and I got to stop there because I got to tell you that is an incredible, challenging verse for me, a challenging thought all the way. How do I get my arms around that? How do I grasp that concept that in the beginning there was no universe, there was no planet Earth that we live on, there was nothing that we could sense or touch or smell or see, there was zero, zip, absolutely nothing, only our God. And on that day, God calls forth life and light, the world that we know, the heavens, vegetation, the animals, and yes, even mankind. I suppose that if we considered this creation as God begins, you could almost consider it like a blank canvas in front of us that an artist is getting ready to paint a wonderful picture on. And when our God is finished with that canvas, it is a priceless, perfect, wonderful masterpiece. And so on that first day, God created the heavens and the earth. And, well, the universe was without any form at all. It was just kind of a mass out there. It was empty. And it was filled with darkness. But on that first day, God brings forth light. What a day that must have been. And now he sets the stage for his beautiful handiwork, and we're going to see it as we walk through this. Remember, he saved the best for last. So hang in there with me. Day two, he separates the water from the skies above. Oh, it's all coming together. On this canvas now, we've got light. We've got the beautiful skies, and we've got water. But hang on, he's just getting started with this. Day three, dry land appears. This is an incredible day in creation. The earth takes form. Can you imagine that on that day God created the Sawtooths, the Tetons, the Rocky Mountains, Mount Hood, Mount Rainier, the Grand Canyon? He created it all. The lakes and the streams and the rivers and, well, the vast deserts that cover the world and the beautiful farmlands that we're blessed with and even those little islands out there in the middle of the ocean. How incredible is God's power? We can see it in this day three, these things that he did. I mean, he is so worthy of our praise, isn't he? But remember, he saves the best for last. Day four, the beautiful skies are lit up. God creates the sun, the moon, and all the stars. Now, on a nice, warm summer day, have you ever gone out of the city, gone out into the countryside or up into the mountains, there at nighttime, and looked up into the heavens from horizon to horizon and see all those stars out there, and sometimes maybe even a shooting one? That is so incredible. Do you know that God created every one of those on day four? That is an incredible creation story just by itself. And I just can imagine when that light switch was flipped, when God created the sun, how magnificent that must have been. Day five. God has now got the world exactly where he wants it. He's got this canvas that he's working on just right. All the background is done, and now it's time to fill it with the earth dwellers. He gives life to the waters, the oceans, the seas, and the rivers, the fish and the sea creatures, from the large to the small, from the huge whales to the sharks to even those little colorful tropical fish. He fills the waters. And then he gives life to the skies. All the skies are full of all the wonderful birds. His creation. From the tiny little sparrow that God keeps his eye on to, well, that magnificent bald eagle. And now he is ready to put the finishing touch on his creation. Are you ready? Day six. Well, incredible day. God starts out day six by creating the wonderful, wonderful animal kingdom. All of the livestock. I didn't say just the cattle. All of the livestock. I mean, that alone is just beyond our imagination. He creates it on day six. All of the ground creatures. Well, that includes the squirrels and the skunks and, the reptiles, the snakes and the lizards. Those things that maybe give us a willy and sometimes sends us running. He creates them all, the wild animals. And then just in the fullness of time, in day six, God creates man. Listen to the scripture. Genesis 1, 26, 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female created them. Remember I said that he saved the best for last. Now, are you ready for the rest of the story? Here it comes. You got to go over to Genesis 2 to pick it up. Verse 18, and the Lord said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Oh, here comes the best. I like this so much. Our God knew exactly what Adam needed. That's the kind of God that we serve. He knows our needs, and he knew exactly what Adam needed. And so the great physician is going to go to work. Did you all know this, that this is the first recorded surgery that we've got in the history of the world, and it all takes place in this creation time? Causes Adam to lie down, and he causes a great sleep to come upon him. I think the medical term is he knocked him out. He opens him up, removes a rib, closes him again, heals him completely, restores him to his complete health again, and then he takes that rib and he creates woman. Wow. Wow. Now, we got to think a little bit about this. Allow me just to use my imagination, because I realize it's kind of strange sometimes, but we're going to think about Adam just for a second. Can you imagine Adam? He wakes up from his surgery, It was just a little snooze for him. He didn't have a clue. He felt great. In fact, he could get up and run a half a mile and not even take a breath. He was in good shape. But standing right there in front of him was Eve. Whoa. I would think in my imagination that this young man was nothing but eyeballs. Wouldn't you agree? His eyes were like this. He thought, whoa, I have never seen anything like this. Woohoo. His special lady. God had created a special partner for him. Someone that he could talk with and communicate with. Oh, he could talk to the pigs and the horses and the cattle, but that's kind of a one-way communication. He could talk with Eve and have a communications with her and share with her. He could take her by her soft, gentle hand and they could walk together. They could share their lives together. Did God know what Adam needed? Oh, amen, he did. They could share their ups and downs, and they're going to have some up and downs, but it was so much better to have a partner to share it with. She was absolutely everything that he wasn't. She was to become his encourager. Now listen, I know they had some problems. They had some sin. In fact, they got kicked out of the garden. But she was created for a purpose. And she was going to be Adam's encourager, his protector, his very best friend, his wonderful, wonderful companion, and the mother to his children. Now, don't you think just for a minute that on that day that as Adam stands up and he looks at the universe that God had created in 6 days, everything out there that was just perfect and so beautiful, and he admires it and looks at it, and then when he looks at Eve, he says in his heart, that is the very best. Indeed, the very best. Now, let me just give you, you men out there, you ladies don't have to listen to this. You men out there, let me just give you a heads up on this, okay? Pay close attention. This is important. If you don't agree with that, do not, under any circumstances, share that with your wife, okay? Don't do it. Take my word for it. It won't be good for you. The last thing we want is somebody to come in here tonight at 6 o'clock and they've got a big knot on their head and they're trying to tell us that it was the doorknob jumped off and hit them. We know better, don't we? So, don't do it. Moving on. Well, knowing how important the ladies are in God's creation and how important they are in our lives, I thought I'm going to take some time here and talk with Mary, my wife. Share with her kind of what my thoughts were on our lesson today. And Mary shared with me her very, very favorite story about love and honor from the Old Testament. It's the wonderful story of Naomi and Ruth. Naomi was the mother-in-law, and Ruth was the daughter-in-law. Now, if you haven't read that recently, that book of Ruth, it's very short. It's only 4 chapters. I would say put that on your list for this week for an absolute must-do. You can read it so quickly, and it is so encouraging. It is an incredible book. It is so beautiful and so rich. You'll be blessed if you'll take time to do that. Now, it all happens, and this story opens up during the time of the judges. The kings had not appeared yet. This was not their time. It was before then. And the story is about two very precious, precious ladies. Both of them had lost their husbands. They were alone, well, except for each other. Naomi, the mother-in-law, thinks, I'm going to leave and I'm going to go back to my hometown, Bethlehem. So Ruth she's got a decision to make. She's at a fork in the road. So her decision is, on one hand, she could stay there in her hometown with her family and her friends and all of her relatives and everything she is familiar with, that she had grown up with, that she is comfortable with, or she could go with her mother-in-law and become a stranger in someone else's land. Oh, what to do? We know what Ruth did, doesn't we? She steps up and she honors her mother-in-law. She tells her mother-in-law, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And where you die, I will die. Ruth made a tremendous sacrifice, in my estimation, of leaving her family and everything she was used to serve her mother-in-law. Our relationship with God a lot of times is very reflective of our relationship with others, isn't it? Ruth is such a wonderful example for us. Her story is all about love and honor and loyalty and devotion. And it's so obvious in this story of Ruth that when we do things God's way, wonderful blessings are going to follow. Ruth did such an exceptional job of following this commandment with her mother-in-law. And the principle of the book of Ruth is so obvious to me. You're going to sow what you reap. And there's no exceptions to that. In just about every phase of life, you're going to reap what you sow. Just seeing if you all were paying attention. But the theme of the book of Ruth also, which I think is important, is God doesn't leave you during hard and difficult times. God is always there for us. What an incredible blessing that is. God is going to bless us when we follow him. Now, but you have to remember this story of Ruth, because Ruth finds herself gleaning in the fields, just hoping just to get enough grain to take home to her mother-in-law that evening so they can prepare a meal that they might get to live another day. They were both very poor. And she moves from there to marry Boaz, a very wealthy man. But the story doesn't end there. The blessings don't end there. God continues to bless her. Ruth becomes the great-grandmother to King David. And we're going to find Ruth in the family line of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is always wonderful blessings when we walk in the light and follow the Lord. Well, it's time for me just to maybe wind down just a little bit. But first of all, let me just kind of share with you some thoughts. We talked a little bit about the Ten Commandments, specifically commandment number 5, to honor your father and your mother. Now, we've been talking and focusing on the ladies in our lives. So when we think about this commandment to honor, what does that really mean to us? What does that say to you? Well, Ruth tells us or shows us exactly what it means. It means to love them, to esteem them, to respect them, to consider your relationship with them an absolute privilege, and to do good to them all the days of their lives and all the days of your life. That is honor. That's what God expects from us. That's what our ladies deserve, and that's what we need to step up and do. Absolutely. Just something for your kids out there. Listen, you kids that are still at home and going to school and living with mom and dad, today is Mother's Day. And I know that it's in your heart that you want to honor your mother in some very special ways today. But let me share with you, there is a way that you can honor your mother every day, and it's very precious. Ephesians 6:1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother." Do you know, kids, how you can bring great honor upon your mother today and every day? That's by obeying her. That is a huge blessing for her. That will honor her greatly. Because listen, kids, when you disobey your mom, you bring dishonor upon her. And that's wrong. That's just not right. God is not going to be pleased. Well, let me just say this. God has given us a most precious gift, hasn't he? He's given us our grandmothers, our mothers, our wives, our daughters, our granddaughters. The ladies in our lives are the very best of creation. And to all of you mothers out there in the audience tonight, I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we love you. You are a blessing in our life. Now let me just close out by asking one silly question, okay? It's not a trick question. It's an easy one. If God had not have created woman, How many of you would be sitting in this audience today? Well, I rest my case. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So how are y'all doing? How's things in your life? How's your walk with the Lord? Are things good? If you're walking with the Lord and hanging on to His hand tightly, you have a smile on your face and a twinkle in your eye, life is good and it's very precious. So I would say to you out there, if you want to have peace of mind, if you want to have contentment, if you want to be happy in life, follow the Lord with all your heart. I don't know where you are, but if you haven't begun that journey yet, maybe you need to be born again and grab onto His hand and hold on for dear life for the rest of your life, and you're going to be blessed tremendously. Or maybe in that journey and that walk, you've kind of let loose a little bit. You've kind of followed your own course, and, well, it's not been good. You know things aren't quite right with you and the Lord. It tugs on you, and it hurts, and it shouldn't. There's no way that it should, and it's something that you can correct, and it's something you could correct. This is a wonderful, wonderful day. This is a great opportunity. So we're going to have a song, and I would encourage you, if there's anything that we can help you with in prayer, whatever, now is a great time. Come on down.